چیزی که هستی.
Good morning. Long time ago that I have been here.
خیلی وقت پیش من اینجا بودم. خیلی وقتی که نیومدم اینجا.
So, long time ago we were in barracks. So, are there still some standing? No, all demolished. So it was the time of the pioneers. They had to decide a lot of things themselves, for there was nothing. And at one side, this is the power of this house. So, as the society in Flevoland started developing, there became more structure. And that's always difficult for the pioneers that were here, the pioneers. But don't worry about it. The Lord builds his house and everything will shake, but the house of God will not be shaken. He will remain the same always. Focus on Jesus. That is my advice. It was maybe 5 years ago that I was here, a little bit during the corona time. I just want to tell you a little bit about a course that I went in my life, so that you understand why I am now. Someone asked which people had the influence in your life. And I always thought, you know, the highlights of my life are, of course, the highlights of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to me. And I identified four seasons, and now I see some fruits. And there was a guy who built a great church in South Korea, and he just said, the secret is pray and obey the Lord. One of the greatest secrets of the success in your life is just follow the Lord and do what the Lord says. And the Lord has a plan for us all. And I met the Lord 50 years ago. First season was spreading the gospel. I saw lost people and saved people. And I only thought lost people have to get saved. And there was a second season in my life in which I thought, how fruitful can I be if I spread the gospel myself? Is it not better to motivate local leaders, mobilize them? And this was, of course, the start of a apostolic season in my life. So I had the crusades and the teaching. And that's how I became fruitful in a different way. I wrote a couple of books on it. And there was a moment in my life the Lord spoke again. I was in Kosovo. And I was confronted with widows, burnt houses, children being kidnapped. And there I was with my book filled with preaching and teaching, and the Lord spoke. And I was confronted with the most dramatic stories, and I just thought I will shake it away and I carry on, but it was not to be. The Lord said, I've come for the broken of heart, and I thought I have to do something about this. So I started some projects in Kosovo. Great project in India too. You can start a movie. It is Abba Children Care. So my wife tells me living with you is interesting and tiring. Because I always start new things. And we also have time for a little bit of vacation. So it will be okay. This project is now 20 years old. And there are so many leopards there. 45,000 leopards. Just one state. And we built over 12 clinics. Where they can come, but they are not all mobile. So it's better to have a mobile unit. It's around 44. There are like almost 500,000 leopards in India, I guess, or even more. So lots of work to do. You know, it's just such a miracle that 20 years spreading the gospel in India. That I guess we are around 10 million people who heard the gospel and accepted the Lord. And I have written a book, and I want to give it to Gerda de Ma. And she's just so special for me. So special. And there was a fourth season in my life. I was in Shanghai. I was in Hong Kong. There was a conference. I will bring judgment over the Lord, and I want you to warn people. And you know, it pays off to be obedient to the Lord. All glory to God. It's all His. And the Lord spoke, I will bring a judgment over the world. And I'm a Pentecostal guy. Like we see the power of the Spirit. But this is something different. You know, I only fear the Lord. I don't fear man. And it will be me who is in front of the throne of the Lord at the end of my life. And I remained faithful. And then COVID came. It was just I just wrote my message down. And I spread it through the Netherlands. And in the book of Acts Paulus wrote, I did not fail in telling the full message of the Lord. And that is how I want to be too. And I said, so I wrote a magazine. Cost 700,000 euros. But if God tells you something, He will provide. And I always tell the Lord, I only do your work. You are the. So you have to pay everything, and he did, of course. Of course, the media was there judging me. But it was the Lord. You know, and it was not pleasant to bring this message. But I truly believe that the Lord spoke to me. So I never really responded against all the bad press. And it, you know, the Lord explained that my reputation did not matter. Only He matters. And after this troubling times, the good work in India just exploded. And I was able to write 7 books. And even a book on the 7th October. You know, it's just shocking what a evil times and darkness in the world. And sometimes people say you scare people with all these tidings of ill news. But to remind yourself, this is the best time there is, you know. We are in the end times. It's so great. The plan of God is going into fulfillment. And of course you can buy some books on it. We also have a survival stick that one day there will be the rapture, of course. And lots of us will go to heaven. And remind yourself that from the persecution there will be a great crowd who has washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So after the rapture there will be time for people to repent. So buy the USB stick and leave it as you get carried away to heaven, and that only the USB stick will remain and your clothes. I want to tell you about the 7 promises that the Lord did. I have prepared a series on this, teaching of about 30 minutes. You can subscribe. And every week you will receive a teaching. And of course all the Bible texts. You know, I'm not conjuring this up from a high hat. It's the Word of God. And there's also a small part about the things that we do in India and spreading the gospel. It was a series of 7 teachings, and I will just cram it in 1.5 hours. So, and there is a PowerPoint, the rapture. Some people don't believe in it, but I believe it. And it is written in the scripture. And I have been reading the Bible over 50 years. And I studied it a lot. Believe me, it's true. And some people say, if you don't believe in the rapture, you will not be taken. But I have good news for you. if you love the Lord with all of your heart, you will be taken away in a moment. It will happen. It's a blessing, of course, if you know it. And if you don't know it, it will just happen. You know, the Lord gives me strength. And it is not written, I will only take the ones that believe in the rapture. It is no. It is written, first the dead in Christ will be resurrected. You will not be saved because you are righteous. You will be saved because the Lord paid the price. Do we have to strive towards a holy life? Of course. But it will not be your holy life that saves you. It will be the sacrifice of the Lord. Some say we are in the great persecution and there will be no rapture. But this is like an indictment towards the cross. But they say first you have to suffer to become holy. But you will not be holy by your own suffering. You will be holy by the suffering of the Lord. And if you say, I have to suffer to become holy, you just walk by the cross, you know. That's strange. And it's theological, not correct. The biggest promise is in one moment all that have died in the Christ from Stephanus till now, everyone will be raised up, will get receive a new body, glorified body, and everyone will be carried away to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And they will have a new body. And we, the living believers who are in Christ, will be transformed. You will have a new body. You will have a six-pack and throw away your glasses. And you will no longer need your pacemaker because you have the peacemaker in your life. Your hairs will grow back. Your wrinkles will fade away. It will be so great. It is there is a false theological movement. That says we will not receive a glorified body, but it is written in Romans that we will. So sometimes I wake up and I feel like I am standing up from the grave in the morning, but I get up and I start the day. And one day all of creation is subjected to the deterioration, but at the end, as the bassoon will, the trumpets will shout, sound. We will be subjected to the decline no more. Jesus Christ, Savior of us and our body. And I hope so that I will hear the trumpet shout. And it is my belief. And if I die a little bit before that time, remind yourself that the dead will rise up first, and they will go first, and then we. Or it's so great, you know. And we will see the Lord for who He really is. And I will see the Lord. You know, and as a Christian dies, it is a good thing, of course. You know, don't resuscitate me if I get a heart attack. You know, when we die, we go to the best place there is. Sometimes people are being brought back to life through cardiac. They don't like it. Reanimated. And the Christians that were brought back like this were angry because they were in heaven. But God knows when the trumpets will sound. And if somebody says, I have a vision, it will happen 18 April, don't believe it. Not even Jesus knows. The Father kept it for himself. So that we will always be expecting the rapture. And we will be weary. And maybe it will take 1,000 more years. But then you have a little bit of a blind spot. We can see the day coming. And the day is coming fast. You know, be wary. We don't know which hour, not which century, but the Bible says which hour, what hour. I believe that we are the generation that will experience the rapture. It is just such a beautiful promise. And I have so many texts. Some people don't believe in it. There was a preacher in 1800. And there was lots of people that don't believe. And they have their reasons. But my authority is not from something strange, something that I believe, but it is just written in the Bible. Remember Henoch, remember Jesus, who were carried up in heaven. Philippus was taken by the power of the Lord from where he performed the baptism of the Ethiopian man. And he was carried to Ashdod, 60 miles away. Paulus was taken to heaven. It was so real that he cannot even... And we have the two witnesses that will come. And all of the holies from the great oppression will also be taken. You know, and the most poisonous criticism that I ever got is you have an escapism theory. And I say, yeah, that's true. It's the best compliment you can give me. And all of the gospel is one great escape. Redemption is escaping from sin. Healing. Healing is escaping illness. If you are being liberated, you escape the demons, or you cast them out, of course. And if you are troubled by demons, I want to pray for you. You know, and the Lord says, I have given you power over all of the enemies. You know, just cast them out and then walk in the Lord. You know, forgiveness or receiving forgiving is escaping from guilt. So many people are troubled by guilt, walking by psychiatrists. You know, but the blood of Jesus cleans you from all sins and all guilt. You know, and being born again is also escape from life in hell. You know, and the Lord can use you. What a redemption, what an escape. You know, being the The Rapture is Escaping Death, of course. You know, remember yourself what Paulus says, if it will not happen, we are the most... And then they tell me that believe things. They believe in these six forms of escape, but Jesus always happens in seven things, I guess. And the seventh escape is the escaping the righteous wrath of the Lord. And as the trumpet will sound, I will be redeemed from sin, sickness, demonic possession. I will be, there will be no more wrath of the Lord. I will not be subjected to the devil or anything else. We will be saved. Can I get an applause from the Lord for his great promises? And of course, the world is a dark place. And it will become even darker. This is just the best is yet to come. And now we have the second in John 14. The bride will go to the Father house. In the house, my Father, there are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I will go there to prepare a place for you. And when I have gone there, and when I am ready, I will come again and will take you to me, so that ye may be where I am. And Sundays, I always look at the great reconstruction on television. People build a beautiful house for themselves. I always get a little envious, of course. But you know that I always give my money away. My house, the architect that created it is the Lord Jesus himself. He is building my house. Some want to live in the mountain, and some want to live at the water, some want to live in the forest. But the Lord knows. And he's building, preparing you a place, a house, that will be so perfect for you. He's building it right now. And he's not finished yet. For what does the Lord says? When I'm finished, I will come to take you to the place where ye may be, where I am. So this is about the rapture, of course. What a great promise. We will be taking away to the Father house without a mortgage, of course, built by the best architect there is in the world, he who created everything, of course. What a great promise. Third Bible text. Ow, ow, ow. So in 2 Corinthians, it is written that we all become for the righteous throne of the Lord. And everything will be revealed. And everybody that is not written in the book of life will be cast in a pit of fire or less. It will happen. The Lord is preparing a place. will be in front of the throne of the Lord. It is for those that believe. It is a great promise. For we all have to come in front of the throne of the Lord upon all... I don't know. 2 Corinthians 5. You know, it's just... Just remind yourself, even though you will be in front of the throne of the Lord and your life will be... you have to... In 1 Corinthians it's written, all will be receive a reward for the work that he did, their own work. There will be judgment and payment, but we are all saved. And how many heavenly dollars have you saved? You know, what did you do with your life that the Lord can reward? You don't have to be jealous on this. You know, he did something. By the works that the Lord has prepared for him. You know, I did a great work in the Lord, but don't think I will receive a lot for it, you know. The Lord looks at your heart, not at your works. And I would just want to encourage you because of texts like this, you know, I encourage you to live for the Lord so that he will be able to give you a lot, you know. And if you are faithful in the small, he will reward you in the for something large and give you power. In Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, it is written, good and faithful servant, over a little you were faithful, and I will give you a lot. You know, it's like the Olympic Games. You receive your medals from the Lord. It will be so great, you know. It's not about your salvation, but it's just, you know, the heart that you have for the Lord, the things that you do for him in obedience. And all sins will be brought into the light. You know, and the Lord sees all hearts of those who love him, and of course everybody, but nobody knows. But the Lord knows the good things that you do. And the Lord sees everything. Everything that you do in his name. And he will reward you for it. And there are lots of things that we don't know that people do. I have a very public anointment. And the people that do the most are always... are the ones that are in the spotlight, you know. But the Lord has a team, you know. And... he needs his keepers and his goalkeeper, his defenders, his midfield players. We are a team, you know, and we all do it together. And, you know, the Lord blessed me, you know, to lead this. But the Lord brought so many people, you know, that some people gave $1 million to my mission, you know, and the Lord sees it. And people don't even know it. So it's just so great. And even if you are a slave, everybody will get back what they did for the Lord. And we have a new point, of course. The wedding of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 17. Verse 7. You know, and this is the first time it is mentioned that the bride is a wife, and of course you are only a wife until you are really married. So in the tradition of Israel, first the man went to his father, so the man told his father, I would like Maria from across the street, what do you think about it? And the father says, you know what, I'm going to talk to her father. And they went. And he said, neighbor, I want to talk to you. My son likes your daughter. What do you think about it? And as the two fathers came to acknowledgement, they drank wine from one glass. You know. And in our case, of course, God is the father of Jesus, but also our father. And God has decided for himself that we are the correct bride for his son. And it is. And as the man received the blessing from both fathers, he reached the cup the elders drank from and gave the wine to her. And if she accepted the cup of wine and drank from it, it was like a yes, saying yes. The covenant was closed. He carried her home and gave her the cup, the beaker, and he gave it to the wife and he said, you know, honey, I'm gonna prepare a home for you, and if you are troubled, just remember yourself of this wine cup that we have, wine beaker, wine glass, you know, remind yourself of it. And when the house was finished, the young Israeli man had to wait, often more than a year. And you know, and when it was time, that the father told the wedding. So it's about how the Israeli people became married to each other. And it's of course, he tries to make the comparison to the Holy Communion. So as all the groom came for the bride with all of the party people that joined the wedding, the doors of the house will be closed. And again, they drank after 7 days of partying. They came out and they drank from the same wine glass which their fathers sealed the covenant. They drank from it, and then that is why they break the glass on the Jewish wedding. And as Jesus says, I have been waiting for this moment that I could drink from this cup. Gast, praat wat rustiger, man. Just such beautiful to see how all these things come together. You know, and as the couple to be married at a 7 days of feast in seclusion, you know, the 7 years of oppression of but we will not see it, for we are raptured before that time. You know, we are not the friends of the bridegroom, but we are the bride. You know, we will be with the Lord, and we will not be oppressed in the great oppression, I guess. And the Lord will come, and all that are in heaven will follow him on white horses, clothed in white and immaculate fine linen. The blood of Jesus cleansed us from all sin. We will be pure and clean, not because of our own efforts, but by the work that the Lord did in us. And we will follow the Lord on a white horse. We all will follow the Lord on white horses and washed in immaculate white linen. Who among you has ever rode on a horse? You know, for me, it was the first time on the Philippines. I tried to spread the gospel, but there was no road, so we had to go by horse. It was a beautiful experience. You know, and as I was taking pictures, the horse ran away from me. You know, exciting moment. And I thought about what I'm going to name my horse in heaven. Ephesus, I guess. Oh, I'm going to call my horse Mercedes. You know, that will be the name of my heavenly horse. And I will follow King Jesus as he descends from heaven to earth on my horse, Mercedes. So the next text is verse 5. Revelation 19 till 16. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. Oh, wrong verse. Huh? 18. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath. And now we are in Zechariah 14. And the Lord will go to battle to the evil people. He's crazy. He keeps on talking. No, I do my best.
Oh my God.
Yeah, man, he talks really fast. And as the Lord will ascend from heavens, and we with him, he will kick out everything. And there will be also good news for Greenpeace. Living waters from Jerusalem will flow, one towards the Eastern Sea and the other to the Western Sea, and it will never stop flowing. And all of the kings will come and bow before the Lord, I guess. And only if you look at what is happening in the world, you become afraid. But I'm telling you, look at the word of the Lord. You know, and some people get afraid for my preachings, but they miss the message. You know, it's going to be so great, you know. All that belief will be taken away in the rapture and will come back victorious with the Lord. And God's promise will go in fulfillment. And there are more than 300 prophecies about the coming of Jesus. But there are 2,400 prophecies about the second coming of Jesus. God spoke on it 8 times more. You know, it's important. Important, you know. And some people never experience miracles because they never speak about miracles. You know, they don't teach being repenting. They don't talk about the Holy Spirit because you are afraid of the Lord and the Spirit. And if you never speak about the rapture and the second coming, how can people live with expectation that the Lord will come? You know, the Lord can come back any moment. Am I ready? You know, and my vision is, if the Lord does not come back tomorrow, we strive for another 10 million souls this year. The time is short, and we don't know how much time we will have. You know, just try to get people in touch with the King of Kings. And in Revelation 20, verse 6, it is written, there will be as priests of God. They will be priests of God in Christ, and they will rule as kings with him in those thousands of years. And that those days, the God will take the time to truly create earth as he meant it. Before sin through the devil came into this world. Here we can read in Isaiah, verse 11, righteousness will be the girdle of his hips. The wolves will sleep beside the sheep. You know, of course, struggle with the rules in our country. But there will be no trouble when Jesus comes back, because the wolves will no longer kill the sheep, of course. They will sleep comfortably together. The lions will eat grass. You know, and some people say, we already live in the 1,000th year of peace, and only those who are enlightened see it. But I challenge you, go to Artis, take some grass, and give it to a lion, and see what happens. I know what lion will do. He will give a short prayer to the Lord, and he will start eating you. The lions are still wild. The wolf still kill the sheep. But there will be a time that the Lord will change the instincts of these animals. And sometimes you see brave people. People that are so close to bears and lions, I guess, that maybe this is how it will be. You know, and little children will shepherd the lions and the wolves and the sheep and the cows, and they will. A baby will be playing with serpents who are still feminists, but they don't bite anymore, for the Lord has all of the. Change everything. And on that day, everybody will know who the Lord is. The Lord will create a new heaven and a new earth, and what was will not be reminded. You will be happy for always. For see, I have created Jerusalem to a banner. Why is there so much struggle over Jerusalem? Jesus was crucified there, he died, he was buried, resurrected, and went to heaven. And that is where you will return. And all of the struggle that we see in the Middle East. You know, we see all these troubles because of the temple. Because of Jerusalem. But it's all prophetic and it will happen. So, as we plant a tree, before the tree gets big, we are usually dead. But in the millennium of the Lord, the 1,000-year peace realm, you know, we will plant the trees and we will have the fruits. And there will be no more funeral undertakers in the 1,000-year kingdom. You know, and the king of life will rule then. And you know, read Jesaja 65. This is what will happen. Future of the planet we live on. Everything will be all right. We don't need Greenpeace. Greenpeace need the Lord. No. everything will be all right when the Lord comes back. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were no more, and this also the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, descend from heaven of God, clothed as a bride who was prepared for her husband. And it will be a city that is about 500 kilometers long, wide and high. It will be a city from Israel to Iran. Huge. Huge city. And this beautiful new Jerusalem will descend from heaven. It will be great. So great. Some people don't believe it. You know, they say rubbish, but it's the word of the Lord. It's written in the Bible. It will happen. It will be so beautiful. I want to talk a little bit about some tensions, you know. Israel is the bride of Christ. But it is, I will tell you a secret. Both man and wife are one, and you can see it in the city for the 12 gates of the... So the foundations of the city will be the names of the apostles, and the name of the gates will be the 12 tribes of Israel. So then you can see that it will be all right. God will take the congregation and Israel together and place us in the great city of the Lord, the New Jerusalem. You know, we have to be excited about this, and we don't have to be worried, you know, because think about it too much, we will never know. It is a mystery. And as time passes by, everything will be revealed. And some people want to make Jews from Jews Christians and Christians to Jews. You know, just embrace the mystery of what the Lord is going to do. And they say they had the presence of the Lord, and it was shining from them like diamonds. So you can all read it back in Isaiah. And the stuff the walls were built with were diamonds. And it was made completely from pure gold. And the foundations of the walls were... The foundations of the walls are precious stones. And you can make a study from it. You know, and then remind yourself that the high priest had a robe with had 12 colorful precious stones, and you know the foundations of the New Jerusalem will be those same stones, rubies, sapphires, diamonds, don't remember the other ones, and there will be 12 gates. 12 gates, and the gates were made from one huge pearl. And as we all know, pearls are being created by oysters, and the oysters swallow a piece of sand. It, and that, of course, irritates the oyster, and then he just adds like layers and layers of pearls on it. You know, maybe that is how our life is. Just thinking about how beautiful this all will be excites me so much. Hallelujah. So I end the, starting at the end of this teaching. For in the New Jerusalem there will be no temple, for the Lord himself will be the temple. The Lord will be there with all of his presence. And the city will need not the light of the moon and the sun, for the Lord itself will be his light. So in New Jerusalem, there will be no place for lies and anything, you know. Nobody can enter it without the blood of the Lamb. And in Egypt, the angel of death could not enter the doorpost of the Israelites with the Exodus. And nothing evil, nothing bad will ever go in the New Jerusalem or be in the presence of the Lord. That is our future residence. How beautiful. And of course, this is only for those that are written down in the Book of Life. Book of the Lamb, you know. Just ask yourself, are you in this book? You know, and if you are not sure, I'm calling upon you to come forward. If you are not sure that you are in the Book of the Lamb, you know, don't go away before you ask for prayer. Just want to say one more thing. And the Lord showed me a river of life. And there were trees that bore fruits every month. And even the leaves will be to the healing of the people. And there will be nothing cursed there, nothing evil. And we'll see the Lord for who he is. And you can just read it back in the Bible, you know, what will happen. The beautiful things that are written down in Isaiah or Revelations. And maybe you have troubles here in the church, but focus on what is to come, you know, the eternity, life with Christ. You know, even if everybody walks away, as long as the Lord doesn't walk away, we're not crazy. Don't stress. Focus on the Lord. He is our salvation. Father, thank you. That I could be here in this house today to inspire from your word, Lord. I preached it before, Lord, but I still get excited about this message. What a beautiful plan you have for us. It helps me to make the right decisions, Lord. To guard my heart so I can be ready for you, Lord. For it is my desire that I will hear you say, "Well done, faithful servant. I have given you a little, and you are faithful." And I want to bless you, you know, and I want to also want to ask, you know, let me pray on you if you don't know the Lord. I guarantee you the Lord will, if you make that decision, the Lord will write down your name in the book of life with his own blood even. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. So I also want to ask you, next time that I come, just take somebody with you. Lord, bless this house. Bless the leaders, the elders. It's so easy for you to fix it, Lord. I want to bless you with this. In Jesus' name, amen.